Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have Josh Palmer at number 13 here. Now, Mike Williams is going to be out for a few weeks, right? Mm-hmm. So what do you think Josh Palmer's role is going to be while he's out?
I think he's not going to be the talent, obviously, that Mike Williams is, but he's going to step right into that workload. You know, we talked about Josh Palmer being a guy that you could add with Keenan Allen out, and then Mike Williams was starting alongside him. Now, Keenan Allen's supposed to be back, right, this week? So
that's the hope, yeah.
Yeah, the hope. I mean, that's been the hope the past few weeks, that he should be back. But he's coming off the bye. I think Keenan Allen's going to be back, and Josh Palmer should be able to operate as a nice wide receiver, too, to Keenan Allen's wide receiver one in this offense. Hopefully the bye week does some wonders for Justin Herbert, and the offense looks a little bit better than it has been. It's not just the Austin Ekeler show, because he's been doing all the work for the offense. He's been doing the heavy lifting, which isn't a problem. You know, we like to see Austin Ekeler do his thing. But if we need to get somebody involved, I think it's going to be Josh Palmer in the Chargers offense, and he could have a nice floor for you these next few weeks, assuming Mike Williams is going to be out that long. We're not sure how long he's going to be out. I don't think exactly. But, you know, as long as he's out, Josh Palmer should be a pretty good start for you moving forward.
Well, you know, they said that he's going to be out for at least 4 weeks. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm not sure if they were including the bye week or not.
Yeah.
But, you know, it could be longer, right? It could linger more. Like, if they're already declaring this high ankle sprain as a four-week injury, it could be more than that, right?
That's
and I wouldn't
I'm
be
thinking.
Surprised if it was.
Yeah.
So Josh Palmer right now could be somebody that you pick up and you start, right? Like, right away as a potential wide receiver three. Now, the good thing is that he's going to step into right into Mike Williams' spot, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the hope is there. You know, before, what was happening was that when Keenan Allen was out, Mike Williams would be on the field, Josh Palmer would be on the field at the same time on the perimeter, and then you had Jalen Guyton playing the slot in most of these games without Keenan Allen, right? Early yeah. on, it was Palmer in the slot, and they kind of switched it up. So now the primary perimeter wide receiver is going to be Josh Palmer instead mm-hmm. of Mike Williams. You know what I'm saying? So it's a little bit different now when Keenan Allen was out of the game. So Josh Palmer is going to be playing a different role. He's going to be looked at differently, right, as that primary outside guy. And Austin Ekeler said it himself. He was on the Reception Perception podcast, from Matt Harmon. By the way, that's a great podcast. You guys should check that out. But he was on that podcast, and he basically – no, it wasn't the Reception Perception podcast. It was the Yahoo Fantasy Forecast podcast, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. With Matt Harmon. He has two podcasts. The guy's an animal. But he said there, he said, hey, listen, who should we pick up, right? And he said, hey, Josh Palmer's the guy. He also said it on Matthew Berry's show as well on NBC Sports Edge, basically saying, like, hey, who should we pick up? He said, hey, it's going to be Josh Palmer because he's kind of stepping into Mike Williams' role. So I think Josh Palmer is definitely somebody that we should be picking up. Maybe we should move him. Maybe the way we're talking about him, I feel like we should be moving him up a little bit.
Maybe. I think so. You know, there's your little insider trading.
Who would you rather pick up this week, Josh Palmer or Romeo Dubs?
Josh Palmer, I think. I mean, Romeo Dubs.
Josh Palmer or Wandale Robinson?
I'd go with Wandale Robinson, I think. That's okay. Just me, just because.
So it seems like Romeo Dubs, Josh Palmer's in the right spot.
Yeah.
Would you rather pick up Josh Palmer or Devin Duvernay?
I think Devin Duvernay.
Okay.
Because he's cool. Like the de facto wide receiver one for the Ravens. You know, obviously it's not an excellent passing volume offense, but I think that he has a safer workload than maybe Josh Palmer. Even though Josh Palmer is going to be wide receiver two and he has Justin Herbert throwing to him, I think Devin Duvernay, you know, he's been getting it done a few weeks this season already. Josh Palmer's been, his ceiling's been relatively limited, but he has a floor. Where Devin Duvernay, if he scores a touchdown, I think his ceiling's just a bit higher than maybe Josh Palmer.
Yeah. Okay. We have James Cook here at number 14, and you know, he's another one. He's another one who we're talking about, like, hey, stash this guy at this point. I think we're at that point where we can start stashing James Cook. And that wasn't the case before the bye.
Yeah.
But now after the bye, so that's, we have two straight weeks now of, what's his name? Zach. We have two straight weeks now of Zach Moss being inactive. Okay. And James Cook is the primary running back behind Devin Singletary at this point. And he got a little bit of run in this game. Right, he played, you know, 25% of snaps, which is his season high. He had six opportunities, and on those six opportunities, he made it happen. Right, five carries for 35 yards, one catch for 41 yards. Right, so like the dude, this is the reason why we were high on him coming into the league, and he's somebody that at this point, if Devin Singletary were to get hurt, I think James Cook has massive, massive upside. And it also seems like they're kind of working him into the offense a little bit more. Right now. The Bills have been in talks to potentially trade for a running back, right? We heard Christian McCaffrey's name. We heard Antonio Gibson's name. There was a couple other running backs that we heard, you know, potentially being traded to the Bills, right? Yep. So if that doesn't happen, I think James Cook, as the season moves on, is going to start to be more involved in this offense.
Yeah, I will know for sure James Cook's fate, you know, in a few hours. But yeah. I think you're right. You know, he flashed that receiving ability that we talked about, you know, coming out, that he looked like he was going to be the nice receiving back that the Bills needed. And he was good on the ground, too. You know, he averaged 7 yards a carry. So it wasn't that bad. He still needs to get his usage up a little bit for me. I think this is definitely a stash play. You're not going to be able to pick him up and start him anytime soon these next few weeks. But, you know, as you get to the fantasy playoffs and, you know, things tend to change, it looks like the bye week did what it needed to do to get James Cook a few more touches. You know, they tend to help the rookies, like you said about, was it last week? So I think that we could continue to see James Cook's touches go up, and just, you know, him being on the field, his snaps could go up too. I think Devin Singletary is good, but, you know, it looks like they're moving to more of a two-headed attack. Zach Moss, like you said, inactive the past 2 weeks. I never thought he was going to contend much anyway. I was surprised the first few weeks where he was actually still playing over James Cook. I think James Cook is in a pretty good spot right now to be a potential contributor to your team, down the stretch run.
Yeah, exactly. And Isaiah Pacheco, you know, similar sentiments with him. Although if there was an injury somewhere else in that backfield, whether it was CEH or whether it was Jerick McKinnon, you know, this still will likely be a timeshare in that backfield. However, Pacheco, he got the start before the bye. They went through the bye, and now those snaps might go up this week. So if you picked Pacheco up, you might have been discouraged with the usage. I wasn't expecting a whole lot last week personally, but moving forward after the bye, we might see that move up a little bit. So I have to stash to see what his usage looks like in week 9.
Yeah, there's no reason not to stash Isaiah Pacheco. You know, they called him the starter, was it 2 weeks ago? Obviously, they were on bye last week, but they called him the starter. So that's obviously good news. The workload didn't shift very much, but it shows that they have a little trust in Isaiah Pacheco moving forward. I'm not expecting, like you said, we have him as a long-term ad. It's the same situation, like we said, with James Cook. He's not going to contribute for you like exactly these next few weeks, but over the stretch run, he has the ability to do that. We'll see how things go, because there's really no clear talent in this Chiefs backfield that's going to take over and maintain most of the workload. It's changed every week, and it's going to continue to do that. But if anybody, I think if I had to pick somebody that's going to, you know, kind of step up and stand out from the crowd, I think it would be Isaiah Pacheco.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this. But Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I have Evan Engram here at number 16. He's been getting it done on the low over the past several weeks. If you're looking at his target share, 21% target share this past week, he caught the touchdown. And before that, Evan Engram has been, you know, pretty consistent, you know, over the past several weeks. Let's see. So last week, 4 for 55 in a touchdown. The week before, 4 for 67 on 7 targets. The week before, 5 for 40. The week before, 6 for 69 on 10 targets. So The dude's a tight end one moving forward. Maybe a top eight, top nine tight end at this point, right? So right. Someone that you should pick up if you need a tight end. You know, I was able to use him in the bye, and he came through for me. So Evan Engram is somebody that you should pick up if you need a tight end, and you could potentially start him every week. And I wouldn't really consider him, you know, dependent on the matchup either.
No, he's not matchup dependent at all. You know, he performed well against, you know, Denver and New York, and then he went out and performed just about the same against Houston. And Houston was not a high scoring game at all. If you recall, I think it was the game that finished, was it 6-3 or something like that? I remember it was a really low scoring game between Houston and Jacksonville. But regardless of the matchup, you say, yeah, he's going to perform. He's going to get it done for each week. I think it's funny that we're calling a guy that's scoring like 9, 10, 11 points on a weekly basis, like a tight end one. It feels weird, but that's just the way things are in the NFL landscape right now. I think that Evan Engram, you know, Trevor Lawrence clearly is looking for him, even over guys like Christian Kirk for some reason, which I think is a little weird. But if that's the way it's going to be, you know, Evan Engram's going to continue to get these targets, then yeah, he should be a starter. And if he's sitting on your waiver wire, there's no reason to let that go, because chances are you don't have a better tight end.
Donovan Peoples-Jones, I have him here at number 17. He would be a lot higher if the Browns weren't on bye this week. Okay, just want to say that right now. Okay, Donovan Peoples-Jones, we've been talking about him every week too. Mm-hmm. And somebody that should have been picked up. Okay, last night, 4 for 81. The week before, 6 for 71. The week before, 4 for 74. 4 for 50. 5 for 71.
Right.
He had a couple bad games against Pittsburgh and the Jets, but I think he was hurt, if I'm not mistaken. And then week one, he had 11 targets, went 6 for 60. So the dude is a big play machine. Okay, he's averaging, I'm looking at how many receptions, yards per target. He's at 9.1 yards per target. He's at 14 yards per touch. The dude is getting it done. Okay. Yeah. And when Deshaun Watson comes back, his ceiling goes up even more. Okay. Yeah. So somebody that is a short-term ad and a long-term ad, somebody mm-hmm. whose value can go up further. Right. This wasn't the best matchup for Browns wide receivers in this game against Cincinnati, but he got it done for you. Right. And yeah. if you've been betting the props on the overs on receiving yards every single week with DPJ, you're winning a lot of money, and he's been winning me money. And that's why I love him.
Yeah, I was going to say, not only is he performing for fantasy, but he's also winning you your picks, you know, and the every underdog pick him. Yeah, every single week. It doesn't matter how many catches he gets. He gets 6 catches, no. He goes for 71, 4 for 81. Like you said, he's like chunk yardage, you know, master. You know,
don't bet the over on receptions, just bet the over on yardage with Donovan Peoples-Jones.
Yeah, okay. That's what he's going to be. And people, you know, I think you just mentioned, you know, Deshaun Watson, people don't realize how close he is to returning. And that ceiling could be going up a lot sooner than people realize. You know, I think he comes back. Is it 4 weeks out right now? This might be a nice spot. I'm not saying you have to go buy Donovan Peoples-Jones because he's probably sitting on the waiver wire. But if you go pick him up, you know, that could appreciate very quickly over the stretch run. I think that you could end up having a nice receiver. And he's good right now. You know, four out of the past 5 weeks, he scored over 11 points for you. And he's not getting like ridiculous amounts of targets. He is, like you said, a big play machine, and he's going to get it done, even with Jacoby Brissett at quarterback and Amari Cooper doing his thing. You know, he had a good night last night. So he's not dependent on Amari Cooper having a bad night. He's going to produce, you know, week in and week out. He's like the ideal flex play if you don't have any higher upside players.
We have Greg Dulcich at 18. I would have him over Evan Engram, but the Broncos are on a bye this week.
Yeah.
So just keep that in mind when you're picking him up. You can't play him this week. Okay. But he has upside. In his first couple games in the NFL, he's beginning the target share. He's beginning the production. And when a young tight end is coming to the league as a rookie doing that on an offense that isn't producing, you got to pay attention. Okay. So he's somebody that you got to pick up. If you need a tight end, Evan Engram's not available to play this week. You can pick up Dulcich to play, starting in week 10. That's how I would play it. I have Latavius Murray here at number 19. You know, he's just a running back that you can kind of plug in if you need to. You know, he gets goal line carries here and there. He's sharing the load with Melvin Gordon right now. Again, the Broncos are on a bye. So if you need a running back for, you know, if you're just in need of a running back and he's available in your waiver wire, which he shouldn't be in most competitive leagues, but I did see him available in more than 50% of leagues on a lot of platforms. So pick him up, keep him on your bench. He doesn't have a ton of upside unless Melvin Gordon gets hurt. But, you know, he has, you know, 12 to 15 carries and a potential touchdown in him on a week-to-week basis right now.
Yeah, and this is the type of workload you expect from any running back, you know, that's working behind somebody else. This is a committee, you know, even though Melvin Gordon is there, Latavius Murray is going to be able to get it done for you, I think. these couple weeks, next weeks moving forward. I'm not betting on him long term. I think he's more of a short-term ad for me. I don't think that his ceiling is very high, and I'm not going to be, you know, like excited starting him in my lineup. But if I had to, you know, I wouldn't be upset about it either. I think that he can get it done for you. Obviously, he's had two good weeks, two all right defenses. You know, the Jets were playing pretty well last week. The Jags, they're in a lot of trouble this season, but at least the way it looked compared to the beginning of the season. But I think moving forward that, you know, Latavius Murray, he could be he's a solid fantasy producer for you if you need him. I wouldn't be, you know, excited about it, though, if I had to start him.
No, I wouldn't be excited either. But if you're in dire straits, you got to do what you got to do. Same thing with Caleb Huntley. I have him here as a short-term ad because, you know, he's – if you need production at the running back position, obviously, you know, if I had to choose between who I want on in this backfield as of right now, outside of Cordell Patterson, who, by the way, might be coming back soon. Just keep an eye on that. Yeah. You know, you want Tyler Allgeier over Caleb Huntley, but Allgeier isn't available on most waiver wires. However, it's a near 50-50 split between these two guys. Allgeier is the primary passing down back between the two. So Caleb Huntley, you know, he can get you 10 to, you know, 15 carries in a game with given how run heavy this Atlanta offense is. So, you know, Caleb Huntley can be somebody that you can start in a pinch as a, you know, low-end RB3.
Yeah, and it's all right to start Caleb Huntley in a pinch if you need to because, you know, the Falcons offensive line, so they're just mauling guys. He ran for 91 yards and 16 carries. That's a pretty good clip. You know, I think that's like a little over five yards a carry. So I think that Caleb Huntley's going to be able to get it done for you, even though he's not getting the receiving work. You know, that's clearly gone to Tyler Allgeier. But 16 carries is pretty good. And 2 weeks ago, he had 16 carries as well. You know, it's going to be a little bit sporadic, you know, his workload. But when he does get it, it looks like he's going to be able to produce for you at a nice rate.
He's also going up against the Chargers this week. And we know the Chargers are the worst rushing defense in the NFL. You know, when it comes to defending running backs, they're giving up the most yards per carry to running backs. So Caleb Huntley, you know, can be a decent flex play for you or, you know, a desperate RB2 if you need to fill your lineup.
Right.
All right. And that's pretty much it. That's all we got. Those are our top 20 waiver wire pickups. If you have any questions or anything like that, you know, we'll be putting up our waiver wire post on Instagram. You can go check out our Instagram page and put your comments there, your questions there. We'll try to get to you. But outside of that, that's all we got. So we appreciate you guys. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you guys tomorrow for our buy and sell episode. You know, players that we're looking to buy, players we're looking to sell, and we'll see you there. Thanks a lot for listening. If you can rate and review the podcast, subscribe to the podcast, that would mean the world to us on whatever platform that you listen on. And take it easy, guys. We'll talk to you soon. See ya.